You're listening to the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast with Kyle McDonald.
Hey, everybody. It's the second episode of the day of the Whack Hoops Digest Podcast. Like I said, there's a lot going on this weekend. Big series in Phoenix. I'm here with GCU Lopes insider Paul Coro. Paul, thanks for coming on this afternoon. It's always good to talk GCU basketball, really.
Yeah, good to talk Lopes basketball, good to talk WAC basketball.
Of course. So right now GCU's on a six-game winning streak, 4-0 in the WAC. They beat Bethesda. I guess beat is an understatement of what they did to Bethesda a couple weeks ago. But talk about the kind of success that the Lopes are having right now early on in WAC play.
Yeah, it was sort of a mid-season reboot because you look back to December when they had a really strong gamut of games where they played Nevada, ASU, San Francisco, Colorado in a 12-day span. And they really felt like, even though they went 1-3 in that stretch, they really felt like they were finding a rhythm because of the quality opponents they played. They beat a really good Nevada team, came down to the buzzer against ASU, lost by 3 to San Francisco, and then went into the break and, you know, the lack of practice time and things like that sort of made them have to kind of start over on some of the things that they were instilling with the system and the new coaches. So opening up on the road in WAC play for four straight games was a real test for them, even though it was the conference newcomers. And I think the growth you saw from the first series to the second series was the way they responded on the second night. They really had two full game battles at Tarleton. Whereas on the Dixie State trip last weekend, they got that game that came down to the last possession in St. George on the first night. And then the second night, they just absolutely walloped them, had their biggest WAC margin of victory ever.
The big three is what I read in an article today with Asbjørn Midgard, Ollie Lever, and Javon. But who has kind of really stuck out? I mean, maybe it's not a single player because it seems like Mikey Dixon has had really good nights. So has Oscar Freyer at moments, especially that I believe it was the second game against Tarleton State where he had 12 points and hit 4 three-pointers. Gabe McLaughlin's been a beast on the offensive glass. I mean, is there any one of those maybe players that have stuck out that have contributed to the success as well, or is it just a kind of a group effort?
Yeah, you're right to name a bunch of guys and how different people have stepped up in different moments, but I don't think you can overplay at all the difference in the kind of phenomenon that Asbjørn Midgard's made. I mean, I think everybody expected big things from him going into the season just based on his size and experience and the type of program he came from at Wichita State. But for him to be leading the nation in field goal percentage and be top 30 in rebounding and have the first double doubles of his career, you know, after being used very lightly at Wichita State and now be a featured player has been quite a revelation. He's averaging 15 and 10 a game. He's an enforcer in the paint to deter the other teams at the rim, something they had lacked in the past. He's a mature leader. He's been a lot of things to them. He's just so solid. It's amazing for somebody who played 3 years and then transfers and hadn't been used that much before. You would almost expect there would be something in his game that gets revealed by now, but there isn't. He doesn't really have a hole. He moves pretty well. He's really strong. He's fit. He's got great hands. He's got a nice touch. He converts at the free throw line. He just has been an all-around huge boost to the program.
Yeah, it was the first or second game against Dixie State. I believe he grabbed a rebound, took one, like basically twisted around one time, went up with ease and just threw it down. I mean, like you said, he's 7 feet tall, 270 pounds, and that's pure muscle. And he's, I mean, it like you said, it's made a huge difference for this GCU program this year, because it makes Ollie Laver a little bit better too, because it gives him the opportunity to spread the floor a little bit more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he gets to, like, you know, before he was the five, and, you know, he needed to be in the post to some extent. Now he can, they can play that inside outside game, go high low, have him out at the 3-point line. He's, you know, shooting 40% from 3-point range out there again. You know, just year after year, he puts up consistent numbers. And so to have somebody like that next to him, especially defensively as an enforcer, helps him a lot. And I mean, you're right. There's nothing, there's not a weak spot on Asbjørn Midtgaard. He is just a tree trunk all the way across. When you get a screen from him, you feel it. And you cannot get the ball out of his hands. He's so strong.
Do you think Wichita State's looking at him like, why don't we give this guy more of a shot?
I think their fans probably are, for sure.
So I wanted to ask you, what's the difference that you've noticed thus far this year under Bryce Drew compared to maybe years past that's led to the success that they're having right now?
You know, their attention to detail as a complete staff, and the depth of knowledge of their whole staff is you know, really got them to where they are today from the work that they put in the off season, the summer, especially given the pandemic and the things that they were unable to do away from the court to create, you know, the chemistry and the bond with the guys. But it's there, you know, it's a family and they all really care about each other, and he's got them to buy into the selfless mentality and the type of hard work it takes. And they're extremely efficient in their practice time. Everybody's held to a high standard. It doesn't matter who it is on the team. Could be a four-year player like Laver or a freshman like Chance McMillan. You know, so everybody's going to be held to a certain standard to get court time. And I think that's been established. And once they players realize how much the staff cares about them off the court too, as a full program kind of approach, then that really helped them be able to buy in. You know, somebody like Oscar Freyer talks about this coaching staff with such high regard, and he'd been around here for 4 years. And, you know, he talks about this staff and the connection he'll have with them long after he plays. And, you know, he's been amazing to get to where he is after being a year out of basketball and just completely getting out of game shape. And he's worked his tail off to get back to the athleticism and the conditioning that he had before. And, you know, he had a stretch in the Dixie State game, the second game, I think it was, where he had three defensive stops all by himself. He had two block shots on help defense, and then he took a charge on the next play. And it was a point in the game where they were kind of reeling defensively, and he just bailed them out all by himself.
I have noticed that there are some highlight reel blocks that Oscar Freyer has kind of put up this year. I think it was the Colorado game where he basically went up above the rim and blocked a dude's shot on a breakaway layup. I mean, I've been high. People think I'm crazy, but I've been high on Oscar Freyer. It's great to have him back and his athleticism and just the loyalty really to the program. Too. Yeah, exactly.
He's found the shot in recent games. He's got it up to almost 40% now.
Well, and add that to the repertoire of what Bryce Drew can throw on the floor. I mean, it's pretty wild how deep the lopes are right now.
Yeah, you referred earlier to Gay McLaughlin, and he's the energizer of that bench group. If the way he comes in and plays so hard and relentless on the boards, he's got such a grasp and a nose and a desire to get offensive boards, especially. You know, his rebound rate is better than anybody is on the team considering the minutes he gets. He's, you know, grabbing six boards a game, but he only plays 17 minutes. So, and it's impactful because he's usually coming in at a point in a game where they might need a little boost or a lift or some relief from foul trouble, or just to give them a different look on the front line from the two bigs. He makes them a little bit more mobile, a little bit more athletic when he comes in.
I wonder if people thought Bryce Drew was kind of crazy when he really kept throwing out Gabe's name preseason and at media days and stuff like, they might have thought, with all you have on your roster, is this guy really going to make that big of a difference? And like you said, I think he's been the biggest key to the success, really, because like you said, he's that energy guy off the bench that makes everybody else better around him.
Yeah, and they found, everybody's found their roles too off the bench. You know, Sean Miller Moore has come off the bench most of the season, and he gives them another guy kind of like Oscar who can be a lockdown defender on the wing. But he's got really good handles to be one of their playmakers off the wing because he's super efficient with the types of shots he takes. So he shoots a really high percentage because he does a lot of stuff around the rim. And then Chance McMillan probably was a freshman that people didn't expect to have such an impact. And he kind of eased him into the season. He went really heavy with Javon Blackshear's point guard minutes to start the year and has gradually upped McMillan's to the point that, you know, he and Blackshear pretty much split time at the point in one of those Dixie games. And he's been a huge bonus just because his 3-point shot's been so good. You know, for a while the team was struggling from three, but he had been really good along with Labor.
All right, let's flip the page here. So we got this big series this weekend. Due to COVID issues, New Mexico State hasn't really got a lot of practice time in. They only played 4 games. They played 3 against non-Division I opponents. I wasn't on the press conference yesterday because it was a wild day here at my house. But what is Bryce Drew saying about this weekend and what kind of their focus is when they face the Aggies, who GCU's lost 8 straight to?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has a lot of respect for the program and, you know, is not taking anything for granted by what's been going on this year. He knows how talented and how deep they are. And they've had extremely unfortunate circumstances with having to be in Phoenix with their practices at a hotel for so long and canceled games and playing one D1 opponent. But, you know, I don't think they're looking at them as that type of team at all. They're looking at them as the team that's beaten them 8 straight times and has been the conference champions year after year and has a really athletic, deep roster that can give them troubles. And, you know, all those guys, you know, might not have played the other night, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to show up Friday and Saturday night. So that's what they got to be ready for.
Well, and let's lay this out. I know that New Mexico State fans say this isn't a rivalry, but here's why it could technically be considered a rivalry. GCU, New Mexico State finished 1-2 nearly every year in the WAC standings. The last, 2 WAC tournaments, it's been GCU and New Mexico State in the final. So when both teams are competing for conference championships, I think that constitutes a rivalry year after year. Am I wrong to say that?
You know, I think that's probably for them to accept and decide at some point too. But we heard Johnny McCants and Chris Jans call it that last year when GCU went to the Las Cruces for the last game. They referred to it as a conference rivalry. So it is at least to the coach and players. I don't know if it is to their how much it is to their fan base. It certainly sounds like it when GCU goes in there and it's packed the Pan Am night and they're breathing fire. But, you know, that's great. That's good for the conference. I mean, everybody should win, and especially in the future of the WAC when these new teams come in and you have a lot of regional rivalries. This is one that makes the most sense for both teams because of the proximity of both programs and, like you mentioned, the stature. But, you know, at some point, you know, GCU's got to get in the win column too to make it. That'll just amp it up a little bit more.
So what do you think the keys are for GCU this weekend to get a sweep or, you know, get a couple wins, I should say?
I think they have to play to their strengths. You know, they've been a dominant rebounding team, and that has to continue. And this will be a different type of this team because, you know, you watch the Aggies and they crash with multiple efforts. And, you know, if somebody like Donnie Tillman's back out there, and he's good for 10 boards, you know, that changes things. So, you know, that's possessions, and GCU gets extra possessions off offensive rebounds, and they limit, you know, they make their defense stand up by limiting other teams to one shot. They've won the rebounding margin every single game. They have the number one rebound margin in the nation. So that's, you know, I think that's a big area where it's going to swing. If anywhere the Aggies are going to put a dent in what GCU does, I'm sure they're aiming for that.
One matchup I really think people should keep an eye on: Evan Gilliard, point guard for New Mexico State, Javon Blackshear, point guard for GCU. Aggies are 23-1 with Gilliard on the floor. Like, is that a crazy stat? But I think that's a matchup that really is going to have a huge impact on the game. What are your thoughts between those two guards?
It's funny you say he's 23-1, and it doesn't even faze me because what, they've won 31 consecutive WAC games and 33 if you count the tournament. So
something like that.
That's why I'm like, oh, he lost one. You know? but yeah, you're right. That's a really good matchup, and it seems like Blackshear gets his share of difficult point guard matchups. You know, he went against McKinley Wright 4 from Colorado in one of his games, and that guy's on the Bob Cousy list. So he's definitely seen a steady stream. You know, Remy Martin from ASU. So he'll be ready. This is a different kind of guy, but you know, he can be instant offense, like 6 points in a second. Not too many guys in the nation can do that, like what Gilliard did the other night.
Talk about one last thing. Talk about Javon and his who he's had to face this year guard-wise with, like you said, Remy Martin, McKinley Wright from Colorado, Montre Gibson, Tarleton State, Cameron Gooden from Dixie State. I mean, it's like he's facing a top guard almost every night that he's on the floor.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the nature of the WAC too, right? I think it's always been a conference that's strong in point guard. So, you know, it's going to – you think about guys like Javon Levi and, you know, has led the nation in steals and been their leader. So I think that's just part of the makeup of the WAC, that WAC point guards are strong. And it's something that they've always had a tradition to develop. And the great thing about Javon is he came in as a freshman just kind of unfazed by it all. You know, the stature of the role, the responsibility, because he had been on such a high level in high school in Phoenix, playing for Mike Bibby's team and club ball, you know, playing ESPN televised games and stuff, and that doesn't none of this is going to faze him. You know, he's used to playing in a big role, and he embraces it. He's got such a cool demeanor about him. We sometimes laugh when we see photos of him about how his like expression looks unchanged if he's like falling even. You know, he's just the same coolness about him all the time. And you know, he's a coach's ideal point guard, because he's trying to get other guys involved. He cares about defense, and you know, his shot's been progressing and his offense is coming along, but he can be a menace defensively in addition to running the offense.
900 students are supposed to, or I believe it's 900 students are going to be at the games this weekend. Is it going to make much of a difference? What are your thoughts on that? Because it's not the same atmosphere, obviously, that we would like to see for a New Mexico State GCU series at GCU Arena.
Yeah, and up until now, it's been limited to 350, I think, is the number. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you close your eyes, it still sounds like a home game, you know, if you're not looking at it. Because, you know, you got band music and you have students and you have, you know, arena music and stuff like that. So it still feels like a home atmosphere, probably more than anywhere that they've been this season. Although Dixie State had a big student section behind the basket for their games. It looks like a lot more if you're watching on television or on the stream, because there's cutouts in every lower bowl seat. So it might look like it's really more crowded than it is. But, it's definitely a game that GCU students would normally be camping out for, you know, days ahead of time to get into. So those 900 who get in will be pretty hyped to be in the building, especially considering most of them probably haven't been able to attend a game this season.
You know, it kind of – I have to admit this. This will be the – I'm coming down this weekend. This will be the third time I've come down to GCU for a game. The first year I came down, it was the first game of the WAC when GCU and Utah Valley played. So there were no students there, really. Second time, it was in, I believe it was like late February, because we came down for spring training as well. But it just wasn't the same. And then now I'm going to come again, and it's still not going to be a packed GCU arena. I got to come down one of these years when it's actually going to be filled to experience the whole thing.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That's too long for you to not have seen the earth-shaking kind of environment it is. I always say, like, the first time that people come to a GCU arena game, it's like the Havocs are the show for a little bit. I tell them, first, you got to make sure to arrive early, because they start about 15 minutes before the game, and and you just can't take your eyes off him until tip off because you just haven't seen something like it before. And then it's fun from then on. But then people always say too, like, the thing that amazes them most about the GCU crowds in normal times is that it doesn't even matter who they're playing. You know, it's going to be 7,000 people hyped, going crazy, whether the opponent is a non-conference school that they don't know or if it's New Mexico State.
Yeah, that's probably why President Mueller said basically we're not having football, because they want to keep that focus on the basketball, which is their flagship program. Anyways, Paul Coro, GCU Lopes Insider, at Paul Coro on Twitter. Give him a follow. And he has all things GCU, and we'll look forward to a great series this weekend. And Paul, thanks again for coming on the Wack Hoops Digest podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Always great to talk to you.